Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything that Jesus is talking about in our gospel reading for today either has already happened or it is happening right now. There is nothing left of the temple in Jerusalem except for about 60 feet of limestone wall. There continue to be people who come in the name of Jesus saying that the end is near and they know exactly when it's coming. And in spite of all of Jesus' warnings, they always seem to attract new followers every time they come around. There continue to be wars and insurrections. Nations continue to rise up against nations. There continue to be big earthquakes and famines and plagues. Many families are divided and broken. The church itself faces all kinds of different challenges, from apathy and unbelief to cultural hostility to outright persecution, depending on where you live. So it's hard for us to distinguish these words of Jesus from anything you might see on the internet whenever you log in. It's hard for us to distinguish what we hear in our gospel reading for today from anything you might see on a 24-hour news channel at any moment of any day. Jesus is brutally honest about the world we live in. He is exceedingly accurate about all that has taken place and all that continues to unfold in our world even today. And all of this could lead us into despair. In fact, for many people, it already has. I think it's not an exaggeration to say that despair is one of those plagues of our own time. You see symptoms of this plague all over the place in the different self-destructive behaviors that we see going on in people's lives. In fact, sociologists have come to refer to some of these things as diseases of despair, and they are widespread. They take the form of alcoholism and overdoses and suicides. These are in such abundance in our day and age that the actual life expectancy for Americans has gone down the last couple of years, which is unprecedented in American history. Despair is a great plague in our time. Hopelessness is a problem too, and it's related to despair, but it's its own distinct problem. Hopelessness is something that's pervasive in our society as well. I've been so sad to see this fall, there have been a few different news stories here and there about young people, like teenagers, saying that they've already decided that they're not going to have children because of their concerns about climate change. Now, I am all for caring for the environment, so don't hear me wrong. I think all people of faith should be concerned about the environment. The scriptures tell us that we are created from the soil and we are dependent on the soil and we're called to be caretakers of this beautiful garden God has entrusted to us. But there's a level of alarmism out there that is feeding this hopelessness. And a sign of that hopelessness is people thinking that it's too dire to even bring children into the world. I think that is so terribly sad. I think it's sad and it's wrong. Thankfully, Jesus has more to say to us than just being honest about the world and accurate about history as it's unfolding before us even now. Jesus also tells us how to live in the world as it is. First, Jesus says, "Do not be led astray by those religious charlatans. Do not be led astray by those doomsayers and demagogues. Do not go after them," Jesus says. That's pretty clear, don't you think? Jesus says that when you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. Do not be terrified. These things will happen, but the end is yet to come. They won't go on forever. Jesus tells us as the church, as his people, he says that when we face struggles and hostility, and even when the church is attacked, to see it as an opportunity. We have an opportunity in those situations to testify with words that he himself will give to us. As tumult continues to swirl all around us, Jesus calls us to keep faith, to hold fast to his promises. For he promises us that not a hair on our heads will perish. Now, I see a few shiny domes out there in the congregation this morning, and you might be scratching your head wondering about this. Has the Lord already forsaken me, or what's going on here? But what this means is that Jesus has promised to preserve us completely. And if he has to grow some hair in the new day, then so be it. But the point is that he will preserve us completely. Jesus is coming again to renew all things. And in the meantime, we are called to endure in faith. By your endurance, you will gain your souls, Jesus says. And so Jesus calls us to hope. He calls us to faith. He calls us to live in joyful anticipation of the new day that is coming. This faith that we're called to is not a passive thing. It is not inactive or lazy. It is not as though we're called to sit around and twiddle our thumbs and ignore our neighbors while we wait for Jesus to come and fix everything for us. That's what the second reading for today is all about. It's a nice supportive text for us this morning. As I mentioned last week when we were in 2 Thessalonians, one of the major issues that Paul's dealing with as he's writing now his second letter to the church in Thessalonica are questions about the end times. Some people in Thessalonica thought that the end had already come, that the day of the Lord had already arrived. But other people in Thessalonica thought that Jesus' return, that the day of the Lord was coming at any moment, that it was imminent, like by the end of the week perhaps. And it seems that some people were using this thought that the kingdom was imminent as an excuse to give up on living a productive life. If Jesus is coming next week or maybe tomorrow, then why work? Why go to work, right? If the kingdom is coming next week, why invest in children? If the day of the Lord is imminent, why bother serving in your community? Why not just sit back and wait? Most scholars believe that it's this mindset that is behind Paul's very scolding tone in this part of the letter, where he's scolding idleness, where he says things like, anyone unwilling to work should not eat. Hello, right? That's pretty scolding. Now, it's possible, it's entirely possible, that there were a few lazy freeloaders in Thessalonica living off the charity of the church. That's possible. But it seems more likely that given the context of this passage, that Paul is referring to Christians who have kind of checked out on being a productive member of society because they think that Jesus' return is imminent. To these people, Paul says, now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. And then to everyone, Paul goes on to say, brothers and sisters, let us not be weary in doing what is right. These are words for us too. Brothers and sisters, let us not be weary in doing what is right. I know how easy it is for us to fall into the despair that is so prevalent around us. We too here today are prone to that same kind of hopelessness that so many people are falling into. It can be paralyzing. It can sap our strength. It can cause us to kind of check out and not do the things that God calls us to do. But God says to us this morning through his living word, do not be weary of doing what is right. We're called to take up our work. We're called to take up our callings, to do right, all in good hope, all with faith, all with good cheer, all in anticipation of the joyful new day that God has in store for us. We do right by serving our neighbors, especially those in need. We do right by loving our families. We do right by doing our jobs. And yes, we do right by caring for God's good creation. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Be green and clean. But not out of fear. Instead, do it out of love. Out of love for God and out of love for this good earth God has entrusted to us. To you young people who are here today, who might have been imbibing some of this hopelessness, you do right by bringing children into the world. Now, file this away for when you're married, but you do right by bringing children. Don't be discouraged about bringing children into the world. Get married and start having kids. Have as many as you want. And don't fear for their future. Instead, dream with them about how they might do right in serving others. We do right as the church by seeing our challenges as opportunities. That's how Jesus frames it. You're going to have challenges, some real serious ones, but see them as an opportunity. It's an opportunity to testify with the words that I myself will give you. I know there's a lot of anxiety around all of the empty pews in our sanctuary these days. We've said a lot of goodbyes to people who have moved and people who have died and people who have moved for caregiving purposes. There's a lot of empty space in our pews. But I would encourage you to not see this as empty pews, but instead to see it as available seating. You see how that frames things differently? It's an opportunity. We have available seating here for all the people that you are going to go out and invite. We're to see our challenges as opportunities. We're not to be afraid of the changing culture or paralyzed by the decline of the church, which is happening everywhere. Instead, we see it as an opportunity to be renewed in some of the core practices of the church, to testify, to witness, to invite, to do evangelism. I know that's a scary word, but you're going to hear me saying a lot more of it in the days ahead. Martin Luther said that faith is a living and busy and active and mighty thing. And so, brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. We don't find this strength in ourselves. That's not what this endurance is about. It's not something that we conjure up ourselves. We certainly don't find this strength and this hope on the internet. We certainly don't find it on cable news. We find this strength and this hope to endure in the promises of God. We find it in trusting and having faith in the fact that the future is in God's hands. We find this strength and this hope in having faith that the day of the Lord is coming and it'll be a day when all is made well at last. So we can start living into that day even now. Again, as God so beautifully said through the prophet Malachi, "For you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings." Or as our Lord Jesus says, "Do not be terrified, for not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." So be of good hope, my friends. Jesus is coming again with healing in his wings. In the meantime, we have work to do. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able as we sing our hymn of the day. Thank you.